preacher. Well, it's been great already. You went home now, you could say it's been good to be in the Lord's house. Amen. Music's been outstanding. You're a good spirit. And the preacher said to let you out at 8:15. And that means I got 10 minutes. And the gun smoke comes on at 8:30. And you know that's not true, amen? I want to speak to you tonight on a subject that's really close to my heart. I asked the Lord when he gave me the message, I said, Lord, give me a message that will help the Christians. I've seen people suffer. Even before I was saved, I saw my papa suffer so much. And I wondered then, why? Why does people, if they're Christians, why do they suffer so much? Why bad accidents? Why does the Lord allow a little baby to be taken from a mother and father? Why does someone in a wheelchair, like, why does these things happen? God gave me a message on why bad things happen to good people. Why bad things happen to good people. For years, I saw my papa suffer. None of the children, 6 children in the family. I've got 2 brothers that's gone. There's actually 7 children, but 6 come up with me. And none of the children ever got to see their daddy work. He's never able to work. Every one of us children were working at 11 years of age. We had to make a living because Pop only got $29 a month from the government and tried to feed 6 kids on $29 a month. Even back during Depression, it was hard. Our house rent was $6 a month, and I worked in the bank and cleaned up the bank as an 11-year-old boy to make our house rent. And I saw my daddy suffer with asthma so bad. I saw my sister get up in the bed with him and raise him up and try to help him breathe, to help him live. And I thought then he was a Christian. And I was an unsaved man, and I wondered why. Why, if that's Christianity, I don't want to ever do anything. I don't want everything to do with Christianity. If this happens to Christians, why does it happen? And I went home, my papa, I didn't even know he was dead. And I'm not proud of this. I had been drunk so long, I didn't even know the day. I didn't know the hour. And I didn't even know papa was dead. And I went home, staggered home, had been drunk for so long, and I staggered back in the back bedroom. And late in the evening, I began to come to a little bit, and my brother came back and said, Carl, did you know Papa was dead? And I said, no. He's in the living room lying in a coffin, a little bitty living room, just about that much room at the end of the coffin. That's how little the living room was, and he's in there lying in a coffin. And I went in and saw my daddy for the first time in many, many months because I never did get to see him but what I was be drunk. And I went in and fell across his body and began to weep. An old Assembly of God woman came over and put her arm around me and said, Carl, you couldn't call your papa back. And you wouldn't want to if you could. But Carl, you ought to make preparations to meet him on the other side. And I was mean and sorry. You've heard my life story, and I'm not proud of that. But I was mean and sorry, and I pushed her aside. Don't give me that bunch of junk. And I went to the funeral, and I stayed sober long enough to go to his funeral the next day. And I sat on the second row with the family. And they had a regular service then. They didn't have a formality. They had a regular choir would sing and specials would sing. And I'll never forget the man leading the singing, had everybody to stand and sing, Does Jesus Care? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. And I wouldn't have enough respect to stand. I kept seated and my mama stood and brothers and sisters all stood, and Mama looked down at me and said, Son, he really cares. And that went with me a long time. You bear with me. God gave me this message because of people like you and other people. Why bad things happen to good people. If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 8. A verse that I've been using for many years. I've been autographing Bibles and books and tapes and records, using this verse as one of my favorite verses. It's easy to quote it when you're paying your bills. It's easy to quote it when there's no sickness, no deaths, no disappointments. It's easy to quote this verse. But boy, when you get in a valley, it's not easy. Romans 8:28, if you'll turn there, let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we come to Thee tonight. We're so thankful for the privilege of prayer. And Lord God, I pray that this message will come off of the altar of God. We're here tonight as a hungry people and a needy people. May this be an encouraging message and a convicting message. And we'll thank You and praise You in Your precious name. Amen. Romans 8:28, for we know that all things, once you get that, all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. All things. You say, oh, that's easy. You say, I have never questioned that verse. You've never been where I've been then. I've never said, listen, I didn't say I don't believe that verse. But I've questioned that verse. When you get in the valley, you get a phone call like I did. My wife, when I was in Chattanooga with Dr. Lee Robinson, and my wife called me and said, honey, I've been to the doctor 3 times and I got cancer. I got out of my bed and got down on the floor and said, Lord, why? Why, Lord, why? 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 All things work together for good. I got back in bed and I said, Lord, if You want to take them home, I'll try to understand. She's fine now. I shared last night, listen to me, you say, I've never questioned Romans 8:28. You ain't been where I've been. I lost my brother 248 pounds, a picture of health. Sitting having a cup of coffee, fell back, his heart exploded. I said, Lord, why? Why? 8 months later, I buried my mom. I said, Lord, why? Why, Lord? 8 months later, I buried a grandbaby. You tell me you never questioned that verse when these things happen? I didn't say I didn't believe it. You say, oh, man, I've never questioned Romans 8:28. You never been in any dark valleys. But I found out through every one of them that all things did work together for good to them that love God. Some of these peanuts says, well, some of these peanuts on television say, well, if you're sick or deaf, it's because there's sin in your life, or you're not living right, that's a lie from the pits of hell. Job was a sick man, but Job was a righteous man. Turn to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. As Jesus passed by, He saw a man which was blind from his birth. And His disciples asked Him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but the works of God should be made manifest in him. Now if you'll go to John chapter 11. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that same Mary. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified thereby. Many great men in the Bible had bad things to happen to them. Stephen was stoned to death. Abraham went through a lot of valleys. John the Baptist was beheaded. Many other great men had bad things to happen to them. Job said in Job 14:1, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Think it not strange in 1 Peter 4:12. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Why does God allow suffering? Why does God allow heartache? Why does God allow that? This beautiful lady here, don't you think God had the power to control that accident? Do you believe that? You hear about somebody dying of cancer. Dr. Cavan, pastor, used to pastor the High Street for 40-some-odd years in Springfield, has got cancer, dying of cancer. Anybody ever heard of Dr. Cavan in Springfield dying of cancer? Why? Don't you think God's got the power to stop cancer? Do you believe that? Don't you think God's got the power? He's all power. Why does God allow suffering and affliction and trials and burdens and troubles and heartaches and disappointments? Why does God allow it? Is it wrong to ask for an answer? Is it? No. Not if you can give a Bible answer. I want to give you five reasons. Five reasons why God allows bad things to happen to good people. Five reasons why God allows it. First of all, to prove the reality of our faith. To prove the reality of our faith. Suppose from the time you were saved and to the time you died, you never had a heartache, never had a problem, never anything ever happened, then your faith could never be tested. Never be tested. Suppose from that time, Job, I believe the turning point in Job's life, in Job 13 and verse 15, Job said, though they slay me, yet will I serve him. Though they slay me, yet will I serve him. In 1 Peter 1:7 says, Peter says this, the testing of your faith is more precious than fine gold. If your faith is being tested, you ought to thank God for it. More precious than fine gold. Your faith could never be tested. Number two, why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? Number two, in order to humble us. If you want to get humble, you let some bad things happen to you. It'll bring you to your knees, amen? Look in Deuteronomy, if you would, chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Looking in verse 2. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know that what was in thine heart, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or not.
Don't you believe God had the power to lead them out of the wilderness in one day?
Don't you believe that? Then why did God allow them to wander in the wilderness for all these many years? Do you ever think about that?
Why did God allow them to wander for 40 years when He could have brought them out in one day? Because they were headed in the land of Canaan, and only humble people could enjoy the land of Canaan. That's why He allowed it to happen, in order to humble thee. And then the Bible says, number three, in order to make us more pure. Make us more pure. In 1 Peter 1:7, I just give it to you. You might write it down and turn there later in Hebrews chapter 12. You ought to read that chapter. This is God's way of making people clean. Bad things happen to good people in order to make us more pure and make us more clean and usable for Him. Think about it. Number four, bad things happen to good people for the sake of others. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, bad things happen to good people for the sake of others. Every time, and I'm sure the pastor can witness this, how many times have you made a call? You go out to help somebody and you leave there with a revival in your soul. I may have shared some of these, but I got to share them again to fit this message tonight. I was on the staff for Dr. John Rollins, his associate, 4.5 years. And he said, Carl, I want you to go out and make this call down on Vine Street in Cincinnati. And I said, what's it about? He said, son, just go make it. Well, I said, what is it? He said, just go make it. I went downtown and a lady on the 3rd floor. And I hollered, hello. And she said, come on up, Brother Hatch. And I went up there and here sat a lady with both legs amputated. And I began to feel sorry for her. And she began to praise the Lord. She said, oh, Brother Hatch, praise God. Praise the Lord, Brother Hatch. She said, I've never been so happy in all my life, Brother Hatch. Sitting there with both legs amputated in a wheelchair. And I noticed over here there was a track going out the window. And there was a chair here, just like a jump seat. And there was two ropes and a pulley. And I said, What is this? Oh, she said, Brother Hatch. Oh, Brother Hatch, I'm glad you asked me. She said, I take those two ropes and I push myself out the window and I let myself down on the ground floor and I work the bus route every Saturday. I bring in over 100 on the bus every Sunday. Man, I left there with a revival in my soul. Bad things happen to good people for the sake of others. I stopped a man here some time back. Preacher and I was out sowing, and a man standing on the corner and said, stop. I went over and gave him a track. And the tears began to run down his face. Running down his face. And I talked to him about the Lord and he wasn't saved. And I took my soul winning card out and I led him to Christ. Boy, he was so happy. Man, up in the years, he was so happy. And I looked down and I thought he had those bell bottom pants on and I couldn't see his feet. He had a walking cane. And I said, what about you? What about your feet? He said, I don't have any feet. He pulled his britcher legs up and had two big old round stubs. He was born like that. And I began to feel sorry for him. And I said, now, we'll have somebody pick you up tonight and you need to come and be baptized. No. No! I've been walking on these for over 60 years for the devil. I'm going to walk on them for Jesus tonight. He walked that night and got baptized. I left there with a revival in my soul.
Bad things happen to good people for the sake of others. I was in Jacksonville, Florida. One of my spiritual grandchildren was there. And when I arrived, Bud said, "Carl, have you heard?" I said, "No, what's that, Bud?" He said, "We just buried our son, Phil, 8 years old." I said, "You're kidding." He said, "Yeah, we just buried him a few days ago." "Oh, Bud, what happened?" He said, "We was in the car getting ready to go to church. And so everybody's in the car, all the kids in the car, and we just having a good time. And I sent little Phil in the house to get something, and we kept waiting and waiting, and he never did come. And I said, I better go see what's wrong." And he said, "Brother Hatch, I left a .22 pistol lying on the coffee table and forgot about it." And so I went in and said Phil had taken that pistol and gone back in the bedroom. And undoubtedly he was looking at it. And he pulled the trigger and blew his brains out. And said, "Brother Hatch, he managed to crawl. There was a stream of blood all the way from the bedroom back into the living room. And he had his hand laying on the coffee table with his hand on the pistol. He's afraid that Daddy'd get mad. And he died with his hand on the pistol lying on the coffee table." But he said, "You know what we're going to do this week, Brother Hatch?" And I said, "No, what, Bud?" He said, "We're going soul winning. We're going soul winning." And I got up that night and I charged the church. I said, In honor of our Lord, in honor of little 8-year-old Phil, let's ask the Lord for 1,000 souls this week. Let's ask the Lord to give us 1,000 souls. We didn't have 1,000 souls that week. We had 1,500 saved and baptized 700. Bad things happened to good people for the sake of other people. Don't understand it. Deuteronomy 29:29, you ought to write that down. The secret things belong to God. I was in Florida in a meeting. Man and his wife came up. They said, "Would you come out and see our daughter?" And I said, "Well, yes." And they said, "Other than the Lord, you're her hero." Said, "Every sermon you've ever recorded, she's got it. You're her hero." And I got to thinking bad things in my heart. I got to thinking that if I'm her hero, then why didn't she come hear me preach? That's why you should never think anything about somebody. You know what's going on. That's why if you hear a preacher hear it preach one time, say, "I don't like him." You're as sorry as a snake. Don't ever pass judgment. If you hear somebody sing one time, you say, "They're not very good." You hear somebody preach one time, you say, "They're not very good." Don't you wait, man. We all have off days. Amen. I was passing. You shouldn't judge anyway. But I was in my heart, I was saying, if I'm her hero, how come she didn't come hear me preach? And he said, "Well, if you'd go out there and see her, she would really appreciate it." And said, "She's got every sermon that you've ever recorded. And I had just recorded the message, 'Can You Sleep?' on a stormy night." I bring the message on, "Can You Sleep?" on a stormy night. There's three storms, a self-made, a Satan-made, and a Savior-made. And I had just recorded that message, and she had it. And I said, "Well, how old is your daughter?" "Well," they said, "she's 19. Well, if I got to thinking that if she's 19 and I'm her hero, how come she didn't come hear me preach? And finally, I said, "Well, how come your daughter didn't come hear me?" "Well," they said, "our daughter's paralyzed from here all the way down. Has been all of her life for 19 years. So we have to have somebody sitting with her 24 hours a day to watch her face because she could choke to death. 24 hours a day, somebody has to sit
and look and stare at her face. But she'd be so tickled to have you come. She listens to your tapes all the time. All the time. I got out there and they had a table as big as this pulpit. And you could bring it up and down and like this. And when I walked in, I pulled the curtain back and they had her sitting up in the bed. And I said, "How are you, honey?" And she recognized my voice. And Pastor, the tears began to run down her face. That woman took hold of her hand, side of a baby's head. I began to pat her on the head. I said, "Honey, I love you." She began to move her head around. And I said, "What's she saying?" She said, "She wants to write you a note." "Well, I thought you said she's paralyzed." "She is. Just put a pencil in her mouth." Put a pencil in her mouth, pulled that table up, and she wrote with her mouth, and she began to write. She said, "You're my hero. You're my hero. You're my hero. You're my hero." "I've been in a storm. I've been in a storm for 19 years. One day I'll have a perfect body. I'll have a glorified body. You're my hero." That's it, honey. Let me sing for you. I'm not a singer. God knows I'm not a singer. But I sang this song to her. I want the ladies to come to the instruments. I dedicate it to her tonight. I was the first one to hear this song. I traveled for years with the Blackwoods. Give me the pulpit, Mike. I traveled for years with the Blackwoods and Statesman Quartet. Thought about being their PR man. We went in Indianapolis, Indiana. 4 o'clock in the morning, somebody knocking on my door. Jim Hill was singing first tenor with the Statesman. I went to the door and there stood Jim Hill in his pajamas and tears running down his face. And Jim was saved, backslidden, got right with the Lord. And he said, "Carl, I want you to hear a song. I just wrote it. I want you to hear it." He wrote it on tissue paper. And he began to bring a whole string of tissue paper and sat on the side of my bed. And I heard this song, the first one to hear it. Listen to the words of it. What a day, glorious day that's going to be for her. Go ahead, ladies. Don't listen to me. Listen to the words. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one that saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. Oh, what a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear. no more sickness. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness to bear. Lord, help me to get through this. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. Oh, what a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one that saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. Oh, what a day, glorious day that will be. Sing it with me now. Come on. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one that saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. Oh, what a day, glorious day that will be. Do you believe that? Hold your Bible up and sing it again. Come on. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one that saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day, one more time. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one that saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand, leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day, glorious day that will be. Bad things happen. Thank you, ladies. They're good people for the sake of others. Can you hear me? Bad things happen to good people. My wife, my daughter and I had the privilege a couple of 3 years ago to spend the whole day with the man that led my wife and I to Christ, Brother Ralph Silsby. I wished you'd pray for him. Just a few weeks ago, he's getting on up in the years and is feeble. Mind comes and goes. A few weeks ago, he was checking, he got an old car. Don't have a new car. Got an old car. The radiator was getting hot. He got out and checked it. It blew up in his face. Bad shape, Pastor. We would pray for him. We had the privilege of spending a day with him. And he said, Carl, he said, I just buried Jeannie a few days ago, his dear wife. And he said, I saw her suffer so long. Said she died of cancer. The whole left side of her face was eat off, all bandaged up. Doctor said, did you want to take her home and let her die at home? He said, yes, and I brought her home. Brother Hatch, I saw her suffer days and weeks and months. Day after day, I watched her suffer and heard her groan. And said, I'd go in the bedroom and say, Lord, why? Why are you allowing Jeannie to suffer? He said, I prayed, Lord, please take her home. Please take her home, Lord. I'd come back in and kneel down beside her bed. Said, we slept different because I was afraid I'd roll over and hurt her. She'd eat up cancer, whole side of her face and body. So I'd come in and kneel down beside her bed and say, Lord, please take her home. Please take her home, Lord, please. Said, I saw her suffer so, and said, finally, I went in the bedroom and prayed and begged God to take her. I came back in and knelt down and said, Lord, if you've ever done me a favor, take Jeannie home. He said, all the years that we were married, we told each other that we loved each other. Five times a day, I'd tell her I loved her. She'd tell me she loved me. So I knelt down and begged God to take her home. And I raised up and said, Jeannie, I love you. 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 And said, Brother Hatch, tears begin to come down her right cheek and drip off her chin. And she couldn't say, honey, I love you. But she lifted her hand and took her little finger and went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and laid it down and said she went home. And I'm so happy he said she went home. Oh, we're there. We live there with the revival in our soul. Bad things happen to good people for the sake of others. I'll promise you I quit, but give you the last one. Bad things happen to good people to prove the sufficiency of God's grace. To prove the sufficiency of God's grace, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, read it. God's grace is sufficient for every need. If you're here tonight, you've never been saved for by grace. Are you saved through faith? That not of the, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For by grace are you saved, and through faith. God's grace is sufficient to save you. God's grace is to lift that load from you. Bring your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. It's a sin to carry your burdens. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your cares upon him. Why? Because he careth for you. I told about my mama scrubbing on the old rub board and sang a while, pray a while, shout a while. Mama used to sing that old song, take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. The way of the cross leads home. She'd sing them old songs. God's grace is sufficient. William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, got up and preached one night, God's grace is sufficient. Preached on God's grace. Somebody tapped him on the shoulder. He turned around. The lady said, Mr. Booth, do you really believe that? And he said, yes, ma'am, I really do. 2 weeks later, he's out in the cemetery burying one of his children. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to put my arm around. I couldn't figure out why I had to bury two grandbabies. 2 weeks later, he's out in the cemetery burying one of his children. And he looked up and said, Lord, I want to thank you for letting me have this one a little while. And Lord, I give this one back to you. But thank you for letting me have it just a little while. Somebody tapped him on his shoulder. He turned around as the same lady. And she said, do you still believe that, Mr. Booth? He said, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. How could I preach the funeral of my baby if I didn't believe that? Yes, I believe that. And since I've gotten saved, that old song they sang at Mama's funeral, does Jesus care? Oh, yes, he cares. It's a sin to carry your burdens. Do you know that? I asked the Lord to help me to preach this. I promised the Lord I'd preach in every church I was in until he called me home, if he let me. We preachers get in the habit of getting up and just beating and beating and beating and beating and beating. I think the older you get, Pastor, I think a little more tender you get. I'd like to go back where I preached 35 years ago and apologize. I used to beat people to death, man. You think I'm strong now? You should have heard me 35 years ago. There's a time to bless, but there's a time to blister. And I felt led to bless you tonight. I could get up here and beat you to death, but I think there's a time to be blessed also. Why does bad things happen to good people? This sweet lady here, I visit with her every night out in the vestibule. She's got the sweetest spirit. Paralyzed in a car wreck. You go to feeling sorry for her. I have when the first time I met her. Got to feeling sorry for her. And when I left her wheelchair, I was shouting. She knows one day she'll have a perfect body. Glorified body. That'll be a great day. But because of her accident, something good has come out of it. I don't know, but something's good come out of it. You're here tonight. You're carrying a burden. Don't leave this building. You bring it down here. You bring it down here. You know somebody tonight. Dr. Gerald Fleming, can I want you and your wife in a minute to come down here and let's pray for your daddy and stepdad. Father-in-law, let's come down and pray for him. Listen, I'm not trying to embarrass him. When I heard of Gerald Fleming, I begin to question that verse. And I'll bet you anything Mary, his wife, has said, I wonder if that verse is still in the Bible. You kids have wondered, is that verse still in the Bible? You don't know Dr. Fleming. He's a lot younger than I am. You're not an old man. We got a lot to be thankful for, Pastor. I'm able to get up here and preach, and I'm able to walk, and I'm able to see, and I'm able to hear. We ought to be a thankful. If nothing else, we ought to be at this altar and just come down and say, thank you, Lord, and go back to your seat. Let's bow our head. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, please. God's grace is sufficient for every need tonight. Now, folk, people are already coming to the altar, and you don't have to wait for me to ask you to come. Just go ahead and leave your seats and get up and come. Why don't you do that? Just leave your seat, get up and come. Let's have that kind of service tonight. Let's let this be the Lord's service. Just get up out of your seat. You're either carrying a burden or you know somebody. Get up out of your seat and come. You see, let's just have a word of prayer and refreshing. I wonder how many in the pews, how many seated in the pews tonight, and you say, Brother Hatch, I am saved. And I'm so thankful that I'm saved. Could I see your hand? In the pews, if you're saved, lift your hand. If you're saved, hold them up just a moment, please. Thank you. Look like every hand lifted. In case I miss somebody, would you lift your hand and say, pray for me? I couldn't lift my hand. Pray for me. I could not lift my hand. I wonder tonight if, I know the altars are filled and it's full down here, but why don't you kneel there at your seat? If nothing else, just kneel and say, thank you, Lord, for my sight, for my legs. Just give him a word of thanks. And I want to have a word of prayer, and we're going to be dismissed. It's been an unusual service, but I felt so moved of God. We're living in a troubled time. We're living in a time when people, there's sickness. I hear so much of great men of God dying of cancer. Sweet families in automobile wrecks. My dear Lord Jesus, I thank you tonight for the precious word of God. I'm thankful, Lord, for the same Holy Spirit that convicts and converts, the same Holy Spirit comforts in time of need. And Lord, I promised you a few years ago when you gave me this message, I promised you that if you'd let me, I'd preach one night in every revival. I'd try to preach this message. Because, Lord, I just feel like that we preachers sometimes we get in a habit of just beating people to death. And I think there's time they need to leave church and say that's so refreshing. I pray you'll meet every need here tonight. Pastor, you'll have to come.
Are you Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Are you troubled at the thought of dying? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it for He is coming. Kingdom, are you sighing? Tell it. Lift it up on the chorus now, folks. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. Hallelujah. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell.